It's getting close to perfect. This was a sea of mud for the last few days, and look. Much sun and under, nice shade tree, chanting the holy name by the side of the Bhajan Kutir of Haridas Thakur in Puglia. We spoke for some time about the life of Haridas Thakur, expecting that we would maybe get a chance to come here, and so here we are. Just a few practical things. Did you see the Bhaktivedanta Charity Trust? Something that Srila Prabhupada, the Shalong with the BBT, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, was the Bhaktivedanta Charity Trust, which was a fund from that which had been given to him to do for others. And in relation to pastime of Haridas Thakur converting the prostitute in Benapole, if you remember that discussion, when she asked, she wanted to become his disciple and give up her abominable profession. So he gave her the instruction, go back to your home, and all those riches and jewels and fine clothing and valuables that you have accumulated in the course of your profession, give them to others, distribute them, so that you have just left one. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary in Chaitanya Bhagavat from that section, describes the position of a spiritual master, or one who's performing the function of guru, and then requests dakshin from disciple to maintain themselves and live a comfortable life. And such a profession is as abominable as the prostitution is abominable. Rather, just as Srila Prabhupada has done here with the Bhaktivedanta Charity Trust, whatever it was that he received, he used for the service of others. And specifically he described, because we started with nothing and Krishna has given us so much. Now, we should, along with fulfilling the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should do good for others. But he showed good for others doesn't just mean opening a hospital and doing philanthropic work, but like this, creating this shrine so persons who come here to see where Haridas Thakur chanted in Puglia, something that's in honor of and will elevate the esteem and regard the pilgrims have for Haridas Thakur. And a number of the places that we've visited, and some of the places that we're still yet to visit, we'll see a similar plaque. The Bhaktivedanta Charity Trust helped to restore the Harihara Kshetra and so many other places here in Navadvip and in Vrindavan and in Puri. And it's not for sake of honor and fame, it's for sake of service to the Vaishnavas. I'll tell a little Prabhupada story. Some of you have heard this. No problem hearing it again if you've heard it. And otherwise, it's on the same theme. One year, I was serving as a book distributor with the Radha Damodar airport party. They had a distinction. There was a bus party and an airport party. And the devotees fully participated in both, were given the opportunity, and I said yes, to go to the Mayapur Vrindavan Festival. So there we were with Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, in his room. And with the room was packed with brahmacharis who were just dedicating their lives to serving Prabhupada. And most of us didn't know, I didn't know, that Tamal Krishnamurti, who was the head of both, the bus party, airport party, he had saved from the Sankirtan collection $3,000 to give to Prabhupada as a gift. But he did it in such a way that it was a little ostentatious. It was a little showy. It was a big stack of $100 bills. And we were all seated in the room chanting japa softly, waiting for Prabhupada to come from the other room, because this was the sitting room. And he came in, and, you know, with a little pomp, he placed a stack of $100 bills in Prabhupada's desk. Like, say, Prabhupada's sitting here, he put it right here on the desk. And I was sitting right there, where Shweta is sitting. And I didn't know this was coming. And so it was like, there was the stack of bills, and there was Prabhupada's face, and there I was just looking at all of this. And I watched, I wanted to see what Prabhupada was going to do, because I was surprised, and I wanted to see how Prabhupada, and he didn't say anything. He didn't even look at the stack of $100 bills that was like this. He just was discussing with the devotees about their service and Lord Chaitanya and the importance of the Dham, and answered questions. And it was, the room was filled with joy just being with Prabhupada. It was really intimate. And then at the very end, the darshan was over, and he started standing up, and he turned over this way, because that was the door back into his room. And he was fully conscious that there was this stack of $50,000 sitting on his desk. And he said to his assistant or secretary, please see that this fund goes to the printing of the next book. And he mentioned whatever the next book was. And we needed this for completing the run of that particular volume. And then he turned his head like this and said, I can have honey with my meals too. And left. Meaning, you know, a little sense gratification. It was a joke. A transcendental joke that, well, at least something for me, not, you know, everything for Krishna, something for me. But he had no interest in something. It was everything for Krishna. So having received something, it's for Krishna. I call it the one pocket program. Not the two-pocket program. So much for me, so much for Krishna, so much for me, so much for Krishna. Me, me, Krishna, Krishna. One pocket. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. So this is just one example of not only his own, the mission that he had been given, the mission that Prabhupada was given was go to the English-speaking parts of the world. So he did. And a second part of his mission was taking some of those English-speaking persons back to India and helping India become Krishna conscious. And then there were these other things that he wished to do. Now that Krishna has given us this resource, let us help others to be cleared. Even if it's not ISKCON's property, it's resource that was given to Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's ISKCON, let it, you get the idea, just for the benefit of increasing Krishna consciousness in the world. That was Prabhupada's will. And so here we have one example. Those of you that went and saw the place of Kolavachar Shridhar, some of you went, Bhaktivedanta Charity Trust. Because previously it was just a little, just a little, something that Bhaktisiddhanta, this is the place. It was about half as big as the table and about 4 feet tall. 4.5 feet tall, something like that. And then a little shrine on top with a picture of Kulavichar Sridhar, and then later somebody put some Gornatai deities in. That was something. It was the beginning. And then Bhaktivedanta Charity Trust created something beyond. Many things that the Bhaktivedanta Charity Trust has done. So you see the Murti of Haridas Thakur, his samadhi is in Puri by the ocean. And so this is his, you can say, his bhajan kutir, or one of them, where he chanted. You see behind him to his right, there's, looks like a well, and that's marking the spot where the snake, the poisonous snake, was residing. And so he was ready to vacate because the persons coming in were disturbed by the fumes from the poisonous snake, so the snake left. And as we sit here, like this is not the bank of the Ganges, but he was living at the bank of the Ganges. So, as best as my memory has it, one of the times we came here, Vrajanath, who was in charge of the Dham Sevak office, told me that when he started his service, one of the persons he met when he came here was an older man who told him the following story, that when he was a young boy, the Ganges literally flowed right on the other side of that wall. And so who knows what it was like exactly at the time of Haridas. Our great acharyas know these things, and we just accept. But this, his cave was at the bank of the Ganges. And the Ganges moves from time to time. Even during my short time of visiting Sridham Mayapur, there was a time when you late of our ISKCON temple in Mayapur, all those shops weren't there. It was just fields. And then there was a very sharp bank that went down, and a very short distance from that sharp bank that went down was the Ganges. And then a few years later, the Ganges was several hundred yards further away. And now it's much closer again. So even during my short, the Ganges moves. She has her own will, and we heard at Jano Muni's ashram, the Ganges stopped. So, in the Ananta Samhita, it foretold. Ananta Samhita has a section where it describes the glories of Navadvipa Dham specifically. And how Radharani, one of the descriptions is how Radharani created Navadvipa Dham. Something like this. Krishna was with another gopi, Viraja, and Radharani was thinking, what can be done to bring Krishna by my side? So she, with her potency, for the pleasure of Krishna, she created this place in the Ananta Samhita. It's called, the language is Nava Vrindavan, because Krishna enjoys Vrindavan. In base is Nava Vrindavan. It's not different. New Vrindavan. And all, you know, the Ganges and everything that's here is created by Radha. And then she invited Krishna to come, and Krishna came and said, this is very nice. And then he disclosed, I will come here and perform my best. Like that. So, in this Ananta Samhita, it was one of the sources that Bhaktivinod Thakur turned to determine, according to scripture, that the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not on the western bank of the Ganges, but on the eastern bank of the Ganges. And one of the statements in Ananta Samhita was that after the departure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Ganges' course will shift, and that which was Sridham Mayapur, the birthplace Anya, the Ganges would cover that with water, and it would be in the bed of the Ganges, at the bottom of the Ganges. And for some 100 years, the Ganges would flow that way, and then the Ganges' course would shift again, bringing to the sun, or to the air and sun, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that one day an Adbhuta Mandir will rise from this place. And that's a reference that Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw, an effulgent, tall temple. I don't know if you noticed, but he saw that from the Rani Dharmshala in Navadvipa. And not only he saw it, his son saw it. One of his sons saw it. Not Bhaktisiddhanta. He wrote about this in his autobiography. Just a lengthy letter that ended up being an autobiography of his sons, of events that had taken place, something like a journal or a diary. When we stopped, we kept going, but I told, but maybe you looked down, when we stopped to see this Sabani, after we were coming back yesterday, you look downstream. Maybe it's easier to see when you're passing on that bridge. You look downstream from that bridge and you can see Prabhupada Samadhi. And you can see the cranes building this Adbhuta Mandir that was predicted in Ananta Samhita. And Prabhupada saw that he was just an instrument of that will. And he gave us something to do. And it's taken 40-something years to get it together. And it's still not finished. But it's, you know, it's well along the way. There were many obstacles, like anything in this world. So the Ganges flowed nearby, right in front. And Haridas Thakur resided here, because he had been invited by Advaita Acharya to reside in Shantipur. He was humble and didn't feel qualified to live with this most eminent Brahmana, Vaishnava. So he took a humble place, a cave, in the bank of the Ganges. And this was it. And so many of the pastimes we narrated, but there's a few additional ones that we'll describe, and it's very nice to be here, especially the ground isn't soaking wet, and the birds are singing, and the sun is shining, but it's not too hot. It's really not. So some pastimes of Haridas Thakur. One that's described in detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat is a pastime when he was going by someone's house, and a wealthy man's house, and within the house there was a snake charmer who was not charming snake, but he was reciting the story from the Srimad Bhagavatam of Krishna subduing Kaliya the serpent. And he was just reciting the verses and singing them. And he was doing so jubilantly that he began dancing. And Haridas Thakur was just passing by, and he was attracted, and he came and sat in the assembly, and hearing the description of the pastimes of Krishna like this, he became struck with ecstasy and fell to the ground. And he started rolling on the ground and making sounds, and people were already considering him to be a saint because of his Namavrata. But now they were seeing the symptoms of ecstasy from the pastimes of Krishna. So they came and took dust from his feet And there was a brahmana in that assembly, and he saw this, and he was envious. They should be treating me like this. Not some Muslim-born man that who knows what his caste is. So after some time, he pretended the same ecstasy, and he fainted and fell to the ground and started rolling around and making sounds. And the man who was reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, he took up his cane and started beating him. Get out! And the man held and said, Mother, Father, help! And he began running. And everyone was astonished that, you know, Haridas Thakur just displayed something and this man was doing the same something. Why didn't you do the same to Haridas or honor him the same way that we were honoring Haridas? Why this difference of treatment? He said, because the man is very clearly a pretender. He had the sufficient spiritual acumen to understand that he's just a pretender. Just interested in having people appreciate, oh, I'm a saintly person. I can exhibit saintly symptoms, ecstatic symptoms. On Friday, our final day here in Navadvip, we'll go to the Samadhi. No, Bhajan Kutir, excuse me. No, Samadhi. No, Bhajan Kutir. Bhajan Kutir of Gorkishore Das Babaji. That's Fananda Sukhata Kunj, the Jalungi, where he stayed sometimes to hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur speak. He, Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, was really intolerant of pretense. And we'll hear some of the extreme ways that he dealt with pretentious people. He had no tolerance at all for pretense. But it's common. It's far more common than something genuine. But when someone sees something genuine, of course not all people understand that which is genuine. Like Devananda Pandit didn't understand Srivas Pandit's ecstasy when he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But the reciter of the Kaliya Nag Leela, he could understand, oh, this is a pastime that was performed while Haridas Thakur was residing here. Now, Rukmininath described another pastime that I've never heard before. And this isn't exactly Haridas Thakur, but it's in relation to the place.
So where is it?
Correct?
Repeat incorrectly. Advaita Acharya, in his early days, he is Vishnu Tattva. But he was performing a pastime where there was, in this place, an impersonalist teacher that he was hearing from. And the impersonalist teacher wished to test his students. So in the Ganges nearby, there was a lake, something like we hear about in the Kaliya Serpent Leela. The river is flowing. But there's some place of indentation, and the river is river water, but it's just collected in the form of a lake. And in that lake, there were many serpents. And in the middle of the serpents, there was a very beautiful lotus. And some lotus lilies or pads, but serpents underneath. So the teacher said, I would like my students, any one of you, you go get that lotus for me. And one by one, they were afraid. They declined. But it was Kamalaksha's turn, because that was Advaitacharya's name when he was young. Kamalaksha immediately went to do the service asked of him by his teacher, and he walked on the lily pads and grabbed the lotus and brought it back, presented it to his teacher. exhibiting mystic power. His teacher was very pleased. Ramanujacharya also, is in his pastime, when he was young, had an impersonalist teacher. So it's not untold of or unheard of for such a thing. And the name Puliya is connected somehow to a word in Bengali that means abundant flowers. Is that correct? Okay. What's the word in Bengali?
Phullo Batika. Phullo means full, Batika means house, area of flowers.
Phullo Batika. Place full of flowers. And then over time it became Puliya. Puliya. So it was known to have many, many, many flowers here. We heard, in commonly, because it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita and it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the plan of Ramchandra Khan to get Haridas Thakur to fall down by sending a prostitute. And we'll find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it says again, here in Puliya, Maya Devi herself, or Durga, because like we heard, Durga coming here to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearing and her taking the dust and giving her the name Simantadweep, or Simantini. So the same Maya Devi came in a very similar pastime. But what's specifically described in Chaitanya Charitamrita is that by the third evening, she moved. She understood. His mind is not changing. He's not becoming weakened over time by my presence. And this is Maya personified, not like some lightweight. This is heavyweight. Maya personified. And she said that my husband, Lord Shiva, has given me the name of Ram to chant. But hearing from you, now I only want to chant the name Krishna. And commentary explains that there are primary and there are secondary names of the Supreme Lord. Here's a little philosophy for those of you that like philosophy. Primary and secondary names. It's written in Harinam Chintamani when Lord Chaitanya is having a discussion with Haridas Thakur, but it's the same teaching that's found in the commentary on this pastime, Charitamrita. There are names that when chanted, they give liberation. And there are names that when chanted, they give love of God. And the names that give love of God are the primary names. And they're names of the Lord indicating His loving dealings with His devotees. So the name or Nanda Nandana or Yasoda Nandana, or just like what we sing every morning for class. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. All of those names in that song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, their primary names, is by hearing them, it stimulates ecstatic love of God. One who chants them purely can enter into the stage of love of God, just through the contact with the holy name. And very simply, chanting the Maha Mantra to awaken our pure, dormant Krishna Prema. One other pastime. While Dvaitacharya was living here in Puliya, there was a brahmana who came and challenged Haridas Thakur for chanting aloud. And he made a sarcastic remark. He said, during the Chaturmasya season, the Lord is asleep. And if you chant out loud, then you'll wake him. And this is an offense. But I can understand why persons like you might chant out loud, because by chanting out loud, people will respect you and you'll get something to eat and you'll fill your belly. That wasn't just sarcastic, it was insulting. So, I want to hear from you the scriptural reference that says that one should chant out loud. Now, part of the reason that I'm expressing this is, from time to time, somewhere in the course of your life as a Hare Krishna devotee, you're going to have, chances are, you'll have somebody ask you that question, or, you know, be a little more than asking, be a little challenging. Because remember, during the time of before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, people were not chanting Krishna's holy name. And the only occasion when they would do so, according to their smarta regulations, was during a lunar eclipse, and everyone was chanting Krishna's holy name, and that's when Lord Chaitanya appeared, during the lunar eclipse, when everyone was chanting the holy name. So this Brahmin had this notion that chanting shouldn't be done aloud. So, Haridas Thakur gave scriptural references, specifically from Srimad Bhagavatam and from Purana and others. And one of those verses comes in the Gopi Gita section of the Bhagavatam, where the gopis are appreciating Krishna's glories. And one of the verses, they say that one who chants your holy name can say and liberate anyone who hears, whether a bird or a tree or any entity aside from themselves. And the other scriptural references indicate something similar. So Haridas Thakur was replying, based on these scriptural references, the interest of the devotee is not their own salvation. The interest of the devotee is serving others, and in the course of serving others, their own self-interest is automatically achieved. The glorification of the personality of Godhead is one's real self-interest. And when that is done in such a way that others also benefit, it's the best. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, commenting on this, said, No. This was something that the devotees were speaking against Vidya Vachaspati. When someone receives some sweets, and just eat the sweets yourself, that's not very nice. You distribute the sweets. And one receives some gift in life. One distributes that gift of life to others. Something that's very valuable. One wants to share it with others. This is the way of a brahmana. And a kripana doesn't do like that. They want to hoard it and store it and count it and selfishly think, now I'm better than someone else because I have this. But the nature of transcendental health, like Lord Chaitanya's, the metaphor in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they plundered the storehouse of love of God. And they began eating its contents and distributing its contents, but lo and behold, as they distributed, the contents increased. So they began distributing more intently and the contents increased. And Lord Chaitanya began to consider, I only have two hands. I need more hands to help me. So, in that manner, by helping Lord Chaitanya distribute the storehouse of love of God, one will experience love of God and many others will get the benefit of love of God. So as chanting the holy name awakens love of God, it should be done, Haridas Thakur was saying, in such a manner that others will also receive the same benefit. Better. And the Brahmana made some parting remark, some nasty, insulting remark. And he left. And he contracted smallpox shortly thereafter. Not like, yeah, it's because he insulted Haridas. But it just happens. Not like we wish bad things to have happen to people that are insulting. But it happens. As Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, even the Vaishnava, Haridas didn't take any insult. He didn't take any insult from the Brahmana who was misbehaving, or the Kazi who threatened his life, or the Brahmana who made some sarcastic, insulting remarks. He wasn't feeling ill towards that Brahmana. So one may think, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, one may think, this person is an elevated Vaishnav. An elevated Vaishnavas are very compassionate, so surely they'll take no offense. Which is true, surely they'll take no offense. But Nama Prabhu takes offense. And when offense to a Vaishnava is made, then one may even continue spiritual practices, chanting the holy name, but Nama Prabhu is absent. The sound is there, but Nama Prabhu is absent. And the purification that comes from chanting is withdrawn, because Nama Prabhu is absent, and one falls as a result of Vaishnava Aparad. So, Haridas Thakur not only taught us the principle and taught us by his example chanting of the holy name, but the consequence of one who doesn't understand and, in fact, disrespects one so qualified as Haridas Thakur. So this is a simple place, but certainly a very nice place for chanting the holy name. And I thought it might be appropriate if we could take 7 to 10 minutes and just chant one round of japa here together.